You're listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. For more information, visit houstonsfirst.org.
Go ahead and take a seat. I want to tell you before we jump into the message, if you'll allow me just a moment to tell you how we got to this message. A few weeks ago, I was really working hard to make sure all my messages were prepared for Christmas time because we had 3 Christmas services here at the Loop, and we had 6 other ones at our other multi-site camp, so it was a big day yesterday. And we had other things going on and family, and I just wanted to get all my Christmas stuff ready, not just my shopping. I got to get my Christmas shopping and my Christmas preaching ready. So I want to get all that ready, and so I went a couple weeks ago. If you remember, I told a story about prayer walking in downtown Houston. So I prayer walked around downtown Houston. I got to the downtown Houston library where I was going to spend some time studying before I was prayer walking. And so I had an outline ready for Christmas. I had everything ready for Christmas Day. I sat down to just touch it up. And I felt like the Lord said, "This is not the message I want you to give." And I was like, "Ooh, Lord, that's a nasty trick right there. Why'd you do that to me?" So then I started thinking about this verse. I just couldn't get this verse out of my mind. And thinking about it, I'll tell you the verse in just a second, but I just felt like this was it. So it's just a really simple message for us. It's just a few things for us to think about. But for weeks, I've been pondering these things and thinking about it and just coming from that place. So that's where the epicenter of this message came from, is just from that moment of me sitting down with everything done and then just pulling out my journal and just writing down a message and to be able to say, here's what I think the Lord wants me to share on Christmas Day. It's going to be in Luke chapter 2. You might as well, in Christmas time, you might as well just put a post-it note on Luke chapter 2, because about everything you're going to hear is going to be out of Luke chapter 2. That's like the quintessential message moment of Luke. And here's what it says in Luke 2, beginning in verse 16, we're going to start, and then we're going to get to verse 19 is going to be our key verse. So here it is, verse 16. They hurried off, that's the shepherds, and they found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the feeding trough. And after seeing them, they reported the message that they were told about this child. And all of those who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Verse 19, our key verse. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them, or pondering, some versions say, pondering on them. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, just as they had been told. So here we have this verse 19 that's a great verse. And ladies, y'all ought to for sure circle and put an asterisk around this verse, because this is a deep thinking woman here is what's happening with Mary. And it's this verse of scripture that says, and Mary pondered, she treasured and pondered all of these things in her heart. Now, what do you think about when you think of all of these things with Christmas? I bet when we think about all of these things with Christmas, we think about a whole lot of extra things compared to what Mary thought about at that time. Right? We're thinking about family, we're thinking about travel, we're thinking about food, we're thinking about wrapping paper, we're thinking about the credit card bill that's coming in January. Oh no, oh no. We're thinking about all the things. Is it going to be delivered on time? Let me give you a little quick illustration. We opened a present today in our household, and it was a present for my son. And you know, the worst thing that you can get as a parent is you get a present that then it's got a lot of instructions. So I just thought I should bring you the instructions for the gift that we had this morning. This is the instructions of the gift that we had. It's a great gift. It's an awesome gift. But you know what I figured out when I started looking through this? Because we finally got to the place where Grayson said, just read them to me and I'll figure it out as we go. So I'm sitting on the couch reading the instructions as he's looking at the item, trying to figure out what to do with this sort of thing. I finally figured out something. You know what though? I went to the kitchen and I grabbed a pair of scissors and I cut out all of the instructions that were in a foreign language. All of this was in a different language than what I speak. This is the only English one. And the English one, because Americans were not that smart, had pictures in it, right? So it was even better for me. It was even better. I loved it. It was great. This is a great picture of Christmas, isn't it? All of these things that really we don't need that much. These things that we don't really need to ponder. And these are the things that Mary pondered in her life. She began to ponder and treasure all of these things. And what we've got to do, and this is what's the beauty about being here at 5 o'clock to be able to worship together, is we basically have folded up a lot of these throughout the weeks and throughout the days. And so now all of these have basically happened, and we can now ponder and we can look at these things that are here in the scriptures. Now, I'm not saying that they're not important, and I please don't want you to think I'm the Grinch who stole Christmas and I'm trying to get upset about eating turkey. I had a lot of turkey today. It's going to be great. I got some leftovers coming tonight, which I'm very excited about. It's going to be great. We got all sorts of good stuff. I got a new sweater on. Doesn't it look nice? I mean, we have all sorts of gifts that have happened. It's been great. It's been an awesome day. But Mary pondered these things in her heart. So here's what I want to ask the question. Now that the gifts have been unwrapped, now that the food has been eaten, now that we've done all the Christmas cards, we've done all of that, what from Christmas should remain from today until next Christmas? What are the things that we should ponder from today until next Christmas? What are the truly lasting things that we need to ponder? And as I prayed about this and as I thought about this, I just came up with just three things that we could ponder. Three things where Mary pondered and treasured all of these things in her heart. What did she treasure? What are all of these things? An angel speaking to her that she's pregnant as a virgin, that she's given birth in Bethlehem, which is prophesied, that here the shepherds have come, and a time later the wise men are going to come. People are singing praises in heaven from the angels. I mean, she's pondering a lot. That's a lot to think about, is it not, ladies? I mean, those of y'all that are moms, you know, when you held that baby, especially that first child, and you look at that baby, you're pondering and thinking. It's a sweet, sweet moment. We all have that picture of the dad with the baby on his chest like he's asleep. He's not asleep. He's scared to death. He's going to roll over and drop that baby is what he's scared. But it's this pondering look, isn't it? And he's pondering as the wife's thinking, oh, this is so precious, so beautiful. He's thinking college, braces, cars, school. What am I going to do with all this? Pondering all these things, she's thinking about the heavenly pondering is what she's thinking about. So what are three things that we can take from this Christmas to next Christmas? The first is this: God reached out to us. God reached out to us. Isn't that the whole meaning of Christmas? Isn't that amazing to think about? God reached out to us, to me and to you. He reached out to us. Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. It says this, it's quoting Isaiah chapter 7, but it says, see, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel. And then Matthew chapter 1 goes on and tells us, well, what does Emmanuel mean? Emmanuel means, which is translated, God with us. That's a scary, wonderful, incredible statement, is it not? God with us. God reached out to us. Religion is man's way of reaching out to God. Relationship with Christ is God's way of reaching out to man. God is not asking for you to jump to heaven. He's not asking for you and me to jump through hoops. He's not asking for me or you to try to work in a way to try to earn his favor. He's not asking for 2 + 2 = 4 in your life. He's asking for surrender and saying, I have reached out to you. I love you so much that I gave my only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I want to reach out to you. But oftentimes we don't recognize that, do we? We think that that's just kind of commonplace. We're used to hearing that sort of stuff. We don't recognize God in the mundane things of life. We don't recognize Jesus in the mundane things that we're going through. But God has reached out for you and for me. That's what Christmas is about. It's about God reaching out. He sent his son. He'd already sent the law. He had already given us creation. He'd already given the animal sacrifices through the temple. He'd already given all of those things. He'd already given an Old Testament. But he gave now his son to say, I want to reach out. And I wonder if we recognize that throughout the course of this year. Will we ponder that God has reached out to us and he loves us and he wants us to realize he's reached out to us. The year was 1979. And there was an honoring with all of the British social elite of a man named Sir Robert Mayer. He was a musician, and it was on his 100th birthday that he was being honored. And this lady went to, she was a British socialite named Lady Diana Cooper, not Lady Diana, that Lady Diana, a different Lady Diana. So Lady Diana Cooper, she went to this party. She was there. It was awesome. It was at the palace, Buckingham Palace. Everything was great. She begins talking to this lady, and Lady Diana didn't have really good eyesight, and she wondered why this woman was so familiar and why this woman was so friendly to her. And then she began to notice that this lady was dripping in jewels. And she realized at that moment, she was just having a familiar conversation with some lady that happened to be named Queen Elizabeth. Now, we don't understand that as Americans, and that's cool, no problem. But here is she talking to the queen. She didn't bow, she didn't curtsy, she didn't say, Your Honor, yeah, she didn't, whatever they're supposed to say. She didn't say any of those sort of things. She just is standing there like, hey, what's up? What's going on? How's your day been? She's just talking, and she finally realizes she's dripping in jewels, and then she said this to the queen. She said to the queen, oh, ma'am, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. Hear this. I did not recognize you without your crown. I wonder if we could say the same thing with Jesus on Christmas. I didn't recognize you without your crown. You're a baby born in a manger. This is not a time for us to really say that God's reaching out to us. This is a time to reach out and give to everybody else and to get a bunch. Isn't it interesting that Christmas, that this is the birthday boy's the only one that doesn't get any presents? It's kind of a crazy party, isn't it? And it's okay. There's no problem with that, as I said, but to be able to realize that that baby wears a crown. It's going to be a crown of thorns in reaching out to us, but it's going to be a crown of the King of Kings reaching out to us as well. That's an amazing thought. So what we need to ponder from this Christmas to next Christmas is this. God has reached out to you. God has reached out to me. How will that make a difference in March, in April, in May, in June, in July, in August? Will it make a difference when we go through a trial and a problem to know that God has reached out to us and he's right there? Draw near to God and he will draw near to you, it says in James. The first thing we need to ponder is the fact that God has reached out to us. What a thought that Jesus went from heaven to earth, that he went from a throne to a manger. He went from a manger to give us a mansion. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? He left the mansion of heaven to come to the manger of earth, to take us from the mangers of earth, if you will, to the mansions of heaven when we die. He has reached out to you and to me, and he is there in the whisper of a prayer and the stretching out of an arm and a heart for me and you. The second thing that we need to ponder is this. Earth won't be enough. We need eternity. Earth won't be enough. We need eternity. See, a lot of times we think that Earth can be enough. We can get enough satisfaction with what happens on planet Earth. But think about today. Could anything be better than today? Today, what do? You just basically, there's no work. Nobody's working anywhere. I mean, I'm working, but it doesn't really count. I'm glad to be here too. But everybody's off. It's a great thing to be able to do. It's an awesome thing. So that's cool. That's great. You don't have to really even check your email today. Nobody's going to be on you if, wait, hey, I emailed you on Christmas Eve and you, or Christmas Day and you didn't email me back. Everything's good. You get a bunch of food. You get a bunch of presents. You get to see people you love. You have a great time. It's an awesome day. And for some, it's a very difficult day. But think about, this is as good as Earth gets. And we're going to go to sleep tonight. We're going to wake up tomorrow morning and it's going to be back to normal. We need eternity. That's what we need. Earth is incredible in a lot of ways. Today's incredible in a lot of ways. But you know what? It's never deep enough to satisfy the soul. No vocation will satisfy the soul. No vacation will satisfy the soul. No gift will satisfy the soul. No creation will satisfy the soul. We need eternity. And Mary is pondering in her heart, angels, virgin birth, God with us, named Emmanuel. Jesus is what he's supposed to be named, which means the Lord saves. So every time you pray the name Jesus, you're saying the Lord saves. You know that? So when you say, when you're just driving down the road, you say, oh, Jesus, you're saying, oh, the Lord saves. When you're in a troubled spot, the Lord saves. Good spot, the Lord saves. Difficult spot, the Lord says, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's why there's such power in that name. It's an eternal name. It's not just an earthly name. You don't just get anything just by any name in the world. You can't just call out your own name and be like, oh, that means whatever it means. It doesn't matter what it means. This is a powerful, powerful name. We need eternity. Earth will not be enough. One of the most disappointing things to me as a kid were how quickly my toys would break after Christmas. Isn't that disappointing? I remember when I was a little kid, I got this one toy's remote control car, which is great. Remote control cars, everybody should have some kind of remote control something in their life. It's a great thing, feeling of power to move these little things around. So I had this remote control Jeep. It was called Fat Wheels is what it was called. I'm sure that's not politically correct anymore to call anything like that, but it had these big-sized wheels here is what they were. Big-sized wheels is what it was called. And so we had this thing, and you had to inflate these wheels. So you'd inflate these wheels, and then it would bounce along like this. Well, I got the version that somehow only 3 out of 4 wheels inflated. And that was like my best Christmas gift. You know, you have like your normal Christmas presents, and then you're like, yeah, Christmas present. That was my yeah, Christmas present. Cruising along. How disappointing. Then finally we got it to work and it was there. But what it showed me is this, as I was kind of tearful with it. That was a tearful time for me in my life. I mean, I was only 19 and I was crying. No, I'm kidding. I was much smaller than that. But you know, it's broken and it can't work. But it was a great expression, wasn't it? A great symbolic representation, isn't it? Of the things that we get, they're going to rust, they're going to break, they're going to rip, they're going to tear, they're going to be out of style. We need eternity, and Mary is pondering eternity. That's a huge thing to think about. What a thought to ponder. This place of earth, everything weathers, everything breaks. The Bible says where moth and rust come to destroy, where thieves can break in and steal. We can have great freedom and joy on earth only when we realize the greatness of eternity in heaven. See, when life makes sense is when you realize your life in the spectrum of eternity, now it makes sense on earth. When your relationships are in the spectrum of honoring God in eternity, now it makes sense on earth. When your gifts and the things you give and the things that you get are in the spectrum of eternity, now it makes sense on earth. And so I've got to get this first, seek first his kingdom and righteousness, then all these things shall be added unto you. If I can get the vertical right, the horizontal will begin to take care of itself. If my heart for him is right and I realize his heart for me, now I can understand the things of earth and I can enjoy it to the hilt. But I'll know that it's not abundant life to the degree that it needs to be for my soul. It'll never make it to my soul. So we ponder that God has reached out to us. We ponder that earth is not enough. But why do we miss these things? We miss these things a lot of times because we're really not used to thinking deeply, are we? We're used to thinking quickly. Thinking quickly and thinking deeply are two different things. Both of them are very important for living life. We need both of those skills. We need to think quickly on our feet to be able to make a decision that's a quick decision, that's the right decision. But we need to also think deeply. Henry Ford, 1929, said, "Thinking is the hardest work there is." That is why so few people engage in it. Thinking is the hardest work there is. That is why so few people engage in it. So what happens as soon as we get in a place where we get bored, I got to do something. I got to call somebody. I got to text somebody. I got to surf around. I got to do something. I got to get a screen. I got to get outside the house. I got to do something. And we never really sit and think deeply. Am I saying you should just sit in your house and just ponder the things of life? Yes, I am. We need to ponder more than we ponder, don't we? And if we pondered, we'd walk at a depth. And when we'd walk at a depth, we'd realize the greatness of eternity. But whenever we're skimming across the surface, we're not really walking in depth. And sometimes our busyness is actually contradictory to the depth in our lives. So God's not looking for busier people. God's not looking for smarter people. God's not looking for more gifted people. God's looking for deeper people. And when you walk with greater depth, it changes your marriage. It changes your relationships. It changes the way that you think about the things of the Lord. And that's why it's so hard for many of us to have a time with God, that we spend a quiet time with the Lord, where we sit with our Bible open and we read and we pray and we take even 10 minutes and just say, Lord, I give you this. I want to think deeply. Anonymous author said it like this: let the mind of the master master your mind. Let the mind of the master master your mind. Paul said it like this, that our minds would be renewed into the obedience of Christ. We've been given the mind of Christ. So here's what I'm trying to say, and we'll get to our final point. I'm trying to tell us that we've got to be able to rip off all of the foreign language at the bottom so that we can see the concentrated part of our lives in heaven and to be able to understand what God wants to do with us. And as long as we've got all of this down here, we're going to be looking in German and Spanish and all these different things. And maybe you speak those languages. That's great. Look at those. But all of this stuff, I think you get the illustration. All this superfluous repeating of things. And we've just got to take the scissors sometime and cut it off and say, all I need is this right here. I don't need the rest of it. And thinking is hard work. Pondering is hard work. To ponder is Mary in this in the Greek, what it means is this: kept, guarded, and private meditation. Kept, guarded, and private meditation. I hope that sometime today that you've pondered, just as you've looked around the room, if you've spent it with family or friends, you've looked around the room and you've said, you know what? These are good people. I hope if you haven't spent it with family and friends and you've been a little bit lonely today, that you've been able to look in your heart and say, God has reached out to me and he loves me. The third and final thing that we could ponder for the rest of the year is this: God has blessed us with each other. God has blessed us with each other. Don't you know that Mary, when she sat there in that manger, it wasn't just a solo thing that was happening. It was a blessing thing of her there with her husband, Joseph. You know, we see this relationship of Mary and Joseph, that they're engaged, which basically in that culture meant they were basically married. He's not going to divorce her because the angel has spoken to him and he's going to believe what the angel has said. So now he's taking care of her. He's what a husband should be, which is a protector and a provider. And so he's protecting and providing for her and caring for her in that way. So it's a great thing of being able to do that. And this love, I just believe that Mary and Joseph were in love. I think there's something great about their relationship that we see. Mary's going to end up being a widow when she gets to the cross. We're not going to hear from Joseph after Jesus is 12 years old. We're not going to hear from him anymore. So there's going to be this moment in which Joseph's going to die, and we don't know how he's going to die. But he's not going to be around him anymore, and Mary's going to be a widow, and Jesus is going to say from the cross, take care of my mother. And don't you know in those moments when Jesus was going through the hardest times, Mary was wishing Joseph was there. It's hard to go through Christmases in a time of grief because you wish somebody was there. But I'd like for us to do this, to learn pre-grief so that we don't take people for granted. You see it? And how quickly we can take people for granted. Because we're moving so quickly, we're not thinking deeply, we're skipping across the top of the lake like a rock, and we're not going to the depths, and we're not meditating and pondering on our heart. And what happens with that is we then begin to take people for granted, and then when they're gone, they're gone. And we wish we could have them back for just one more moment. So God has blessed us with each other. And if you don't have a lot of friends, that's okay. You don't need 100 friends. If you don't have a lot of family, that's okay. You don't need a big family. But God will give you one or two people in your life that you can love well and you can, and they can love you well, because he wants us to be a family and a fellowship. And if you don't have it in your family, we would like to extend to you as a church that we're your family. And we want to love you, and we want to care for you, and we want to be your friend, and we want our Life Bible study classes to come around you and to care for you and to be able to be there in your places of need. I got a text message this week, and it was a picture that a dad had sent me that he lost his daughter this year. And it was a picture of carolers from our church standing there with candles in their front yard singing Christmas carols to encourage them. And they stood there on their front doorstep with tears streaming down their face. And the text said, Pastor, I love our church. Thank you for loving us so well. Thank you for this place. And in that moment where they felt the hole, big hole, they also felt the love. And so I just want to encourage us in this Christmas time that we would appreciate one another in a great way. I've got a point of application for you, and then we'll begin to wrap up. I want you to write a thank you note for someone, not something, this Christmas. I want you to write a thank you note to somebody for them, not for something. Not just thank you so much for the sweater you gave me. Thank you so much for whatever you gave me. I want to thank you for you. I'm grateful for you. I have people do that in our parent dedication times where I have the folks that are there, the family, to write to that mom and that dad and to fill their mailbox with encouragement notes. And it means so much to those young families that they get those notes of encouragement. So let's ponder that God has blessed us with each other. I'm going to give you another point of application in just a moment as we end our service before our time of worship to close out in just a minute. But I just want us on those three things to really think deeply. Matthew Henry, the great Bible commentator, says this: meditation is the best help to memory. Meditation, meaning pondering something, thinking on something, is the best help to ministry or to memory. So we've got to think about these things. We've got to develop our deep thinking, and then we'll understand the great things of what God has done and the big news of what has happened. Last little illustration, 1903. It was December of 1903. And the Wright brothers had just successfully gotten their flying machine off the ground. Can you imagine the first flight in 1903? They'd just flown 120 feet and they telegraphed the message to their sister, Catherine, and they had this in the telegraph: we have actually flown 120 feet and we will be home for Christmas. Catherine ran to the editor of the local newspaper and showed him the message, but he was really, really busy. He had to get the paper out. He looked at the message and he said, "Oh, that's wonderful. Your brothers will be home for Christmas." He had missed the big news. The Wright brothers had flown 120 feet, and now here we are with the airplanes that we have today. And all he saw was, "Oh, great, I'm too busy. Your brothers will be home for Christmas." I want us to move deeper to a place of pondering. Sometime in the next 24 hours, I hope that you'll ponder that God's reached out to us, that earth will not be enough and we need eternity. And then number three, that God has blessed us with each other. And if we'll treasure those things in our heart, God will do something in deepening our souls.
Thank you for listening to the teaching ministry of Houston's First Baptist Church. We invite you to worship with us anytime you're near. We're located at the corner of I-10 West and the 610 Loop. Visit us online at houstonsfirst.org.